It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security. Welcome to the National Security Hour. I'm not Mary Fanning, who's the host for today. I'm Ed Hoglund, her co-host for today. Our special guest is Ms. Brendy Wells, as today we'll continue prior discussions and expand on the parallels between what happened to South Africa and what is currently happening in our United States of America. We must believe what we see when we look at the demise, the subversion and destruction of South Africa from a prosperous free nation to a hellhole of terror and economic collapse, not much unlike Venezuela. Now, South Africa, predominantly black, the 2022 estimates 81.4% black or indigenous. But Venezuela, which is also predominantly white, okay, 51% of the population is mixed white indigenous, with another 43%, that's 94%. Now, why is that important? Because as we discuss today with Mary and Brendy, what's happening in South Africa, we must take a look at not this from just a racial perspective, which people try to paint it as, okay? Because if you have Venezuela and South Africa both going communist and socialist, what's the underlying reason? What's the underlying causes? So let me introduce Mary Fanning, the host for today. She's not just a spark, but she's a flamethrower. She's the executive producer for the National Security Hour on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Fanning is an investigative journalist, and I'd say an excellent one, at The American Report, covering key national security issues. Mary is also the co-author and it's the best-selling book, The Hammer, Is the Key to the Coup, Invisible Treason in America, and recently, Treason, the Dismantling of America. Today's special guest, Ms. Brendy Wells, was born and raised in South Africa. Since 2014, she's exposed the atrocities and heartbreaking reality of the persecution of the people of South Africa who have suffered greatly as a result of the 1994 communist takeover, disguised as democracy. Hint, hint, take a look at America today. She is currently living in America with her husband, John B. Wells, who many are familiar with, and co-produces the Caravan to Midnight show with John. But alas, there's more. She's authored a number of great articles covering South Africa to the U.S. Space Force. I've had the pleasure to engage with her on a couple of times in the National Security Hour and also on Caravan to Midnight. Finally, before we begin, as we discuss today's show and South Africa and the parallels with the United States, we'll cover how the U.S. is moving from a melting pot to a boiling pot, much like South Africa, which also allows me to bring an entree to discuss Brendy's most recent book, A True Blend of Culinary Art and History, emphasis on the history, Survival Food, South Africa Pioneer Cuisine, as we discuss the very survival of America. So let's begin. Mary, over to you for any opening comments.
Ed, it's very nice to be with you as always. And Brendy, Brendy and I have a history beyond the fact that I'm also the executive producer for the intelligence briefing on Saturday night with John B. Wells, and Brendy and I worked together on that. But the first time that I came on their show years ago, Brendy and I got into a discussion about South Africa. And the story that was being conveyed to the American people was anything but the truth about Nelson Mandela. And so that was a starting point in our friendship and relationship. And the American people are not being told the truth. They are not being told the truth. It's important to understand that when South Africa was taken over, the man behind that was none other than George Soros and the Open Society. And that is a starting point for understanding not only what took place in South Africa, but what is underway in the United States of America. So welcome, Brendy. We are delighted to have you.
Thanks so much, Mary. I appreciate being invited on your show.
And so Brendy, why don't you give us a little bit of opening salvo here? You know, we've talked about this before, but anything from the use of propaganda and disinformation, the use of open borders, I mean, there's so many different dynamics that are parallel here. Where would you like to start?
Well, really, I was given an article by an ex-South African general from the South African previous South African Defence Force, and he laid out exactly what they did to take over my country. And John actually read it on Caravan to Midnight last night. But the crux of the thing is that this was British intelligence that infiltrated using the ANC as a puppet. Even one of the agents, and there's a video, and I'll give you the article for this entire, it's a long read, but I tell you what, when you read it and you replace the word South Africa and you just put America in, you can actually see the entire game plan playing out again. Because these guys are, I mean, they're very good, but they are one trick pony. They do the same thing over and over because it works. So the point that I'm making is, what they did is they took a population and told them that they were oppressed and every single problem they've ever experienced and ever had was a result of the white man. So, and it really was never a black and white issue, even though they made it one, that was the front. But the entire plan was to bring down the South African government because Verwoerd, who was our president, wanted to be independent. We had a gold-backed currency, we built up our military forces, and Britain could not take the fact that we exited the Commonwealth and we became a republic in 1961. That was the death shot, really, for lack of a better term, for my country. They assassinated Verwoerd. Then P.W. Botha came into power. They tried to kill him too. They actually poisoned him while they were making plans with F.W. the traitor and Pik Botha. And Pik Botha and P.W. aren't related. Botha is like Smith in South Africa. So anyway, the long and the short of it is they infiltrated from within. They militarized and weaponized the black people of South Africa. But you need to also understand that predominantly what happened is they opened the borders. Because in 1961, when we became a republic, there were 6 million black people and 5 million white people living together in peace and harmony. And the next thing, in 1994, when Nelson Mandela walked on water out of prison, telling everybody he was chopping rocks on Robben Island for all these years, meantime back at the ranch, he was living in luxury on the Pulsmoor prison ground in what is known as the guy that runs the prison, the head of the prison, in his house. They gave him the best house on the prison grounds. He wasn't even in the prison. He had a chauffeur, he had a telephone, he traveled. I mean, he came to America and he attended a town hall in America while supposedly in prison. And I will send you that footage too. So it was all in furtherance of a communist takeover. In my country's case, it was a communist takeover in blackface. But what these people don't understand, that has got nothing to do with race. It was just to literally steal the gold reserves of South Africa, because P.W. Botha, after he was poisoned, F.W. de Klerk took over, and he negotiated with Netanyahu through the Federal Reserve, and that is what bailed American banks out in the late 80s and early 90s. That is actually what happened. It was a bank heist.
Very, very interesting. Mary, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts on that before I give you mine?
Well, there's a couple of things that I think are important for our listeners to understand. There was a man that used to visit Mandela quite frequently. This man came out of the Council for a Livable World, a communist organization. They are the ones who put him into power. They were looking how to take over the United States of America via communism. They started with the smallest state first in order to put the communists into Congress, because they knew they couldn't take over the country via the people. So they were doing it via Congress. That man out of the Council for a Livable World was none other than Joe Biden. Joe Biden was known for his many visits to Mandela. Joe Biden is a communist that is here no differently than what they did in South Africa or Russia when they took over and the Bolshevik Revolution, that Joe Biden is running that same revolution in this country using neo-Marxism and creating division. In this country, our Achilles heel, as Antonio Gramsci like to point out, create the division via race. Racism is directly what is being used in this country to divide the people and to destroy the country. And Joe Biden is here to steal America. He is implementing Barack Obama and the global communist transformation to break down and destroy this country. And if the American people do not start realizing that they're being played in order to steal their country and everything that comes with it, then they will go into that long, dark night of communism.
No, I agree, Mary. So what's interesting here, Brandy and Mary, a couple of different aspects here, is in my definition of the cognitive war, which is what I look at this as, is the left and radical left have used various ways in their strategy, ideology, okay, fascism, communism, religion. They use radicalization of religion, or they use religion to cludgeon, like in Catholicism, or issues, transgenderism, inequality, and other stuff like that. But what's interesting here, as Brandy mentioned for the audience, is there are some direct parallels to what she just went through. For example, British intelligence being involved. Let's take a look back at 2020 and U.S. intelligence involved in the soft coup against Donald Trump. Second, BLM and Antifa. Okay, you have a radicalized element funded by Soros again. Also, the district attorneys, okay, attorney generals for the states, all funded by Soros, what are now the defunding the police, etc. Three, the victimhood card. Whether in Venezuela, U.S., or Africa, they always have to find some route to victimhood. Race doesn't matter, okay? So they continue to perpetuate this big lie, because in America, they're painting, okay, the blacks is the suppressed, the blacks is the ones who are inequality and such. But few Americans realize there are three times more many whites living under poverty than blacks. But the same 30 million, approximately the same 30 million number has been the same since 1959. Now, why is that? Because it's part of the narrative, helps drive the narrative. But why don't you hear the opposite side, as Brendy's talking about in South Africa? Because it doesn't fit the lie. Fourth, open borders. Look what's happening now with open borders in the United States. This is, in fact, a great replacement theory, okay? But not for brown people, for white people. What this is a great replacement theory is to what Mary Fanning touched on. The American people are waking up, blacks, Hispanics, and others, that they've been played, because they're realizing that 30 million below the poverty line have been used like pawns for years now. But the blacks, Hispanics, and others need to be replaced because they're waking up. And who do they replace them with? They replace them with multiple people who are uneducated or from these other impoverished countries. So they have a new 21st century plantation dependency. And fifth, what does all this derive from? It all derives from a utopian left vision of what the future holds for the so-called victims, why they then undertake and subvert the nations as a whole. Let's go back to Brendy here. And Brendy, once you touch on, you had previously written a different article as well, and you want to touch on some aspects of the article you're mentioning to give the audience some better insights as to what actually took place in South Africa.
Well, basically, if I look at America and having been here for the last 8 years, it's like I say usually to everybody that asks me, so how's America? I said, it's like being in the Twilight Zone, because I've seen this movie before. Now, if I look at where America is today and where, when I see when South Africa was where you are today, I can tell you what the next thing is. And it's not because I have a crystal ball, it's just because I've seen it and I've lived through it. But basically, I don't know if you remember, in 2015 and 2016, there was all these huge reports coming out of South Africa, and the big word was xenophobia. I don't know if you remember it, but
Yes.
we had visions and videos of black people killing black people and setting them on fire. It was huge violence all over South Africa. I mean, we didn't know. We had to listen to the news in the morning, or I did, to see which road I should take to go to work so that I could, miss a necklacing or a bomb or a shooting. I mean, it really got that bad. You could go to the store and somebody shoot you in the street. And I'm not even exaggerating. The point that I'm making is that what happened is that the South African black people, the indigenous South African citizens, realized that we've been invaded and that these people that came over the border, like I said, 1961, there were 6 million white people, I mean black people, and now you had 40 million of them. And I think the last time I looked, it was 75 million. So it continues. It hasn't stopped. The point that I'm making is when the South African black people realized who they that these people were taking their jobs and do, infiltrating, and they were getting government houses and government subsidies, and they were being left behind, and they understood that this dream that they fought for all these years, apartheid, anti-apartheid, the poor oppressed, that they weren't the beneficiaries of anything, they started to fight back. Now, instead of them telling the world what the real story was, they made it, oh, xenophobia. So that's probably the next word we're going to hear in America. Because what happens when the citizens wake up and they start fighting the invaders, now you're xenophobic. Remember? If you're not a
Yes.
racist, you're xenophobic. So they give it a name. But
But
what is that?
let's
Sorry,
come back
continue.
and pick that up right after the break here, Brandy,
Sure.
because that's a very important point, and to highlight, it goes into highlighting a number of other aspects from research and stuff done on South Africa since Mandela and the African National Congress took over. For those listening, be sure to make AmericaOutloud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We must all do our part, share the stories, the articles, the podcasts, and videos so we can help secure America's future. We'll be right back.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. HealthyCell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And HealthyCell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use CofixRx because it works.
Welcome back to the NASA Security Hour. Today's host, Mary Fanning, and myself, Ed Hoglund, and our special guest today, Ms. Brendy Wells. Brendy, as we're going to break, you mentioned xenophobia. And I had also mentioned, along with Mary, that with a massive group of folks crossing our borders illegally here from many different countries, uneducated and stuff, people across America, not just the minorities, are waking up to what's going on here. Based on what you saw in South Africa, what do you see then happening here in America with this great invasion?
So basically what's going to happen next is that the citizenry, black and white, and in India, in South Africa, predominantly you had black people, white people, and Indian people. And they united against the invaders. That story was never told. And that, I mean, the white people supported the black people's rise up against the invaders. So what they did is they branded it xenophobia. They beat the South African black people to a pulp and threw them in jail. Some of them are still in jail for attacking these poor little invaders. Now, what I see, I don't know if you saw that the bridge that blew up in Maryland.
Yeah.
So that is, you can clearly see the detonation points. That is what started happening in South Africa. They started attacking the infrastructure. They started blowing up post offices, substations, restaurants. I mean, you'd be sitting at a restaurant and a bomb goes off. You could just Google the Bolito restaurant bomb, the Church Street bombs. I mean, blowing up everything. And this was the ANC directed by Nelson Mandela via Joe Biden and you can trace it all the way back to the City of London. Now, the point that I'm trying to make is that these people have infiltrated pretty much America the same way that they have done in South Africa at that time. So when you see infrastructure starting to blow up, you know that we are at war. They then infiltrate, they've already infiltrated the neighborhoods. They're not going to, they have already. Watch out for houses that look like there's people there because there's curtains, but you never see a car, you never see a face, you never see anything. Those are cells. And I'm telling you, what happens is at nighttime they activate, they have got weapons, they've got bombs, they've got everything you can imagine. They start invading the farms, because that's your food production, and then they start invading the houses. And I'm telling you, it is horrible what they do. I mean, I'll tell one short story, and then you can amplify this thousands by thousands. I personally, myself, attended in the year 2014, 2015, 137 funerals of people that I knew that was murdered. So I'm telling you, it's coming. They are going to kill you. And it's not going to be, you're not going to see an army with horses and guns and bombs. They are doing it. They infiltrate and they get into your house. And then they're replacing the police with illegals. So that when you are invaded and you happen to pop around, you kill the guy in your house that wanted to rape you, and you phone the cops, guess what happens? They arrest you. Because how could you kill this poor little immigrant who was just looking for food?
Yes.
That is what is going to happen. So I'm telling you, your government is at war against the people. Your government is not your friend. You cannot fight a war using laws that you were taught is there to protect you. It's not there anymore. What we need to do is create citizen groups that will take care of these situations when it happens. When somebody is invaded and they phone a friend, don't phone the cops. I know that sounds crazy, but they want you to obey the law, but they control the law. Your enemy controls the law. And it took a while for the South African white people to snap to that. And that's the point I'm trying to make here.
Well, much impacting. Mary, what are your thoughts, Mary?
Well, so every time they go in to do this into a country, the first thing they do is go and destroy the system in order to build this utopia that they are promising the people. They know that the Achilles heel of America is racism. And so they're creating division in order to take our country. If we stand by as they flood our borders, I'll tell you, Ed, as we were doing the port stories and working with people who were involved in Iraq, we found that the ambassador from Venezuela was handing out illegal identities, passports, to terrorists from all over the Middle East. We are finding those passports now all through the Darien Gap at our border. Our country is being invaded. It is being invaded by terrorists. It isn't the bad guys. And our government is standing by, acting like this is normal, like this is okay, that the American people understand we are paying every invader $2,200 per month. The government's not paying them. That is out of the American people's pockets. And so we're bringing in people to destroy our country. Our government is waging war against the American people. The longer we sit here and watch as they invade our borders, destroy our infrastructure, you have to simply look and ask yourself, why was it okay for Antifa and Black Lives Matter, which I was able to prove with Terry Turchi was being funded from outside of the United States? Why was that okay for them to burn down our cities and we stood there and acted like it was normal while people that went to protest what was taking place, the stolen election, were put in prison for years? This is messaging to the American people that should you stand up, we will come for you as well.
No, I think you have to believe what you see. And so I have to make one small correction what Brendy was warning us about. She said, you will see this coming. It's already here, Brendy.
Most certainly. I mean, what they did in South Africa is they were dropping guns and ammunition. The cops were dropping guns. And then I have been seeing footage of people that sends it to Jambi as Michigan State Trooper dropping truckloads of Beretta guns to hotels where these illegal aliens are just living in luxury, have room service a lot while the veterans are dying in the street. This is the same playbook. This is happening. And I'm telling you, when they attack, you don't expect it. We think we have a few weeks left. This morning, John said to me, we don't have 8 weeks left, Brendy. And I agree with him. When we're going to start seeing massive, massive violence in the street.
Well, so Brendy's point here for the audience. Okay, and I looked at things more strategic in nature, but I've seen this unfold here for the last six decades, the slow subversion of America. Here, being an old Soviet studies guy. But let's pick apart a few of the key points that she laid out here. First, police plus the military. What does the left want to do with the illegals and the illegals crossing? They want to put them into our police and military. Okay, right to her point. When you have people who don't understand your constitution and they are beholden to the breadbasket of what's being handed them, you then compromise both your police and the military. Crime. Take a look at just recently in New York City, a police officer being gunned down in the streets. Take a look across the malls in New York City. They're being shut down because of gang violence. These are purposeful gangs from Venezuela and other places which have been brought in to create chaos and hell. Obey the law and control the law. All we have to do is look at today's Justice Department, the two-tier justice system, and how it's being applied, how they're trying to use red flag laws and other aspects to take guns away from not only veterans but other law-abiding Americans. But yet, as Brendy pointed out, the illegals coming across the border, I've seen many videos, many other aspects. They're able to walk in and get guns and get arms, and no one's saying anything about it. To Brendy's point and JB's point, we have to take a look at proper preparation here. And it's already too late in many cases from my perspective. What we have to do is take a look at state by state, county by county, and set up our own militias, deputized by the sheriffs, the proper militias and stuff like that, and be prepared for this. People forget here, Brendy, in America, you've been here 8 years. You see how myopic and short-sighted we are. They forget what happened with BLM and Antifa in 2020 in the Summer of Love was not the main thrust. That was a preparation for when Trump got legitimately elected but fraudulently overthrown, okay, for massive anarchy should he have moved into the White House. If Americans don't think they're not going to do the same thing, but on steroids this time, you have something coming. The last thing here, before I turn it back over to Brendy and Mary, is when you have this number of illegals coming in, that's 12 million. That's equivalent of 12 cities of 20,000 people each for every one of our 50 states. Where do they go? Okay. Where do they get money? Where do they get funding and stuff like that? It's all coming off of you, the taxpayer. And in this case here, when Donald Trump talks about this mass deportation, to Brenny's point, that's going to be one of the sparks they'll use, the xenophobia, to start these massive wars and stuff, in my opinion. Back to you, Brendy.
Well, that is also another thing. What, where are they going to go and what are they going to do? Let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have a front person who will go and rent houses for them. So it'll be an American traitor. Like in South Africa, it was a South African traitor, and it was groups, and it was funded by the Open Society, Soros himself, in South Africa. They went and they rented houses under identities that they stole from other white South Africans, so they would get the rental contracts. Then they would move these illegals into rental houses. So if you are a property owner, listen to my words. Make sure you know who's moving into your house. They will move these illegals into the rental houses and stop paying rent. Guess what happens then? When the person starts to say, hey, you got to pay rent, and he wants to evict them, they claim squatter rights. Squatter rights. And then that goes to court, and you are sitting with people in your house that is absolutely destroying your house because they have no concept of what and of any of value, anything of value. So they destroy it.
Let me jump in for one quick thing here. Yeah. So that's already happening across America here, as you've seen a number of instances, and you've seen the video of the individual from who came in talking about breaking into people's homes and stealing their homes and using just what you're talking about, the squatter rights. Back to you, Brendy.
Yes, so they use the squatter rights to move people around. So they'll put them into rental homes, they'll buy houses, they're going to start occupying farms. And you're going to see these hut houses, tent things, pop up overnight, and the farmer will wake up and there's like 100,000 people on his property. And they're very militant, and they're threatening, and there's just nowhere to go. That's why I'm saying we need to form close-knit communities. You need to have a spot where you can go. You need to be able to phone a friend, because the government's not your friend anymore. We need to understand that. But I'm saying, after a long time in South Africa, it took a while for the white South Africans to cop to it, but when they did, they have started forming little. That's how we've survived 25 years under communism, because we are industrious and we've made business. We have kept the business going, paying taxes. So that means that the ANC government isn't that dependent on Britain. And Britain is now going, okay, that's not working. We now have to go in and eradicate what is left. So I think that the timeline for America has been pushed up, because we kind of at the same level now, even though we started 25 years early, and the attack is coming. When I saw that bridge blow up, I was like, okay, here it is. We are at war, and already. It's not coming. It's here. You are right. Over to you, Mary. What do you make of this?
Well, for starters, if you have no border, you have no country. But
Amen.
Beyond that, you the people that are pulling the puppet strings. And when you look at George Soros and his background, is a Nazi collaborator. But beyond that, he was a proponent of Coudenhove Kalergi, Prince Kalergi, who was Asian European. And he thought that they should be breeding out white. And he was saying that if you breed out white, that, you know, the history of all people were all the same, and then we won't have any wars. This is a plan to take out white people. We watched it across what's taking place in Europe. We're seeing it in Ireland. We're seeing it. It took place in South Africa. It's here. The idea that they're going after and creating this division against white people is with purpose. And the very idea that the Democrats and any politician is being funded by a Nazi collaborator should have you back on your heels wondering, what in God's name is going on in this country when this is allowed to be taking place?
Well, it's amazing here is that, you know, the U.S. has some other tools in our toolkit which we could fight back with. But as Brandy noted, the timeline's been pushed up. But part of the timeline reason I think, Brandy, has been pushed up also is the left has gained a foothold and power in all the key branches of the government, which underneath communist type of tactics and techniques and stuff are most critical. So education, healthcare, the controlled labor force, transportation and communications, you know, EVs and stuff like that, agricultural and the factories, okay, the military, more recently, they've with the CRT, the DEI and other stuff, such those different lines. And of course, with the Department of Justice, it's down in spades with what I call now the Fascist Bureau of Intimidation, which is a one-way street in terms of terror. So the United States has much of things have already happened. The American people are waking up. But as you pointed out, South Africa, it's hard to believe what people see and translate that into a reality of a purposeful schema to undermine and subvert a country. But that's what cognitive warfare is. That's what's happening in America. The blessing we have in America, though, is states have a lot of rights and they can exercise those rights. The problem we have is that the states are not fully exercising those rights yet. And so we have a long ways to go before we can actually gain our strength and foothold back. But the preparation before the upcoming elections is going to be critical. Governors, sheriffs, county councils, everyone should be preparing for some mass unrest, mass anarchy, because the left's not going to get this level of power and give it up easily. As we go to break here in a second, let me remind our listeners here that America Outlawed Talk Radio plays on iHeartRadio Network. You can listen on our media player from any web browser anywhere in the world. We have the best-in-class apps available on Apple, Android, and Alexa, where we stream 24/7. And now you can also hear them on a podcast for this application on those applications. Go to AmericaOutloud.news. AmericaOutloud.news. We'll be right back.
When God, through His grace and mercy, gave us free will, the will of the people was to live freely. To that end, we fight for the liberty of all at a time when global tyranny threatens us as never before in mankind's history. This vision is manifest at AmericaOutloud.news, a site for all who cherish free will and freedom. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/OutLoud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel and be our very best. Our customers will tell you how our products have made a difference for them, from improving immune health, regulating hormone balance, supporting gut health, to soothing the skin, even reducing the appearance of wrinkles, fine lines, and cellulite, and providing targeted support for mind, mood, energy, and even our body's own production of collagen. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in becoming your best self and fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, We power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour. I'm Ed Hoagland, and with me today is Mary Fanning as the host for today's program. Our special guest, Ms. Brendy Wells, co-producer for Caravan of Midnight, author extraordinaire, and she's once again bringing reality back to America in terms of what's happening here in America and helping Americans understand what they're seeing they must believe, because there's a history behind it from South Africa, Venezuela, and other countries where this has happened before. And to that point, let me go back to 45 Communist Goals. Okay, this book was written in 1958. Okay, and it laid out 45 different goals of communists. Okay, and those goals, the tactics and techniques and procedures haven't changed over the years. What has changed is with the advent of information technology is the means by which the deceit, the disinformation, and the propaganda can be amplified significantly. But let's take a look at a few of those goals. I'll just go through a few of them and see, Brendy, from South Africa's perspective and from America's perspective, if any of these hit home, as well as you, Mary. First, get control of the schools and teachers associations. Gain control of student newspapers. Infiltrate the press. Gain control of key positions in radio, TV, and pictures. Eliminate laws governing obscenity by calling them censorship. Break down cultural standards of morality by promoting pornography and obscenity. Discredit the American Constitution, calling it inadequate and old-fashioned. Discredit the founding fathers as selfish aristocrats or racists. Belittle American culture and discourage the teaching of American history. Discredit and eventually dismantle the FBI. Infiltrate and gain control of business and unions. Transfer the powers of arrest from police to social agencies. This is mind-boggling. Discredit the family as an institution. Emphasize the need to raise children away from the negative influence of their parents. Okay. Those are just a few of the goals, America, 1958. And when I read those off and you listen to those, Brendy and Mary, doesn't that just sort of raise the hair on the back of your neck as what we're seeing here in America and what we saw in South Africa? Back to you, Brendy.
Oh, most certainly. It absolutely is. It's the playbook. If you think about what they did to the children, that's why I started in 2014, sorry, I started my blog, The Truth About South Africa, because I read my kids' history textbook. When I read that, I thought, this is fiction. This stuff never happened. They rewrote everything that was real and created a false reality and were teaching this to the children. Thus, I wrote everything, the real history of South Africa, on a blog, and I called it The Truth About South Africa. And that's how John found me. He wanted to know more about that. And then going back into my book, they discredit the family. They discredit the founding fathers as racist. South African white people were made out to be the most horrible racists on the planet. Good grief, it was just awful. But be that as it may, we need to know who we are. We need to know where we come from. And that, again, goes back to my book I wrote. That's why I wrote it, so that we can survive what is coming. If you don't understand your roots, you cannot survive this. And that's the point. That's exactly part of the list. Erase your history, erase your and putting children against their parents. Nelson Mandela had an army, called it Nkontu Isizwe, the tip of the spear. That's what it meant. And that was his military wing, the same as what BLM was here in America. And it is just absolutely to create chaos. But while they are creating this chaos, they infiltrate schools, hospitals, every government position you can think of. And this is just going back to what you said earlier, Ed, in terms of, oh, we have a long way to go with regards to states. We don't have that much time. So it's a question where it comes down to the individual. You have to prepare, but America has one advantage. They're trying to stop that, but South Africa, and this was before YouTube and all that stuff, so we didn't know what we didn't know. So we stood in line like good little citizens and handed in our guns. Okay, that was the biggest mistake we made. I'm telling you, just do not do that. Do not allow that to happen, because once they have that, you'll just be a sitting duck. That's what you'll be.
Now, Mary, that's, I know, right. You have a few comments on here. What are your thoughts?
We have to understand how much of a psyops is being run on this country, and the parallels between the Bolshevik Revolution. That's why I refer to this as Bolshevik Revolution 2 in the United States. The idea that they're destroying our history, they're taking down our statues, they're damning anything that's American. Have you ever heard a president referred to us as colonialists like Obama did? Obama, the communist. Joe Biden, the communist. Until people understand that these are the racists, these are the Marxists. They're the neo-Marxists here to destroy America, to take your freedom. And Brendy is exactly right. The only thing standing between us and our freedom at this point, and you'll notice that the left keeps saying, take the guns, or you can't have this kind of gun, or you can't have that kind of gun. This is our constitutional rights. This is why they want the guns. Look at what they did in Australia once they got that. Understand something else, too. Ed, you go to the 45 points of communism. I have those up at the AmericanReport.org because it is so important that people understand the parallel, all the parallels. The only thing that they have not gotten through and been able to get to is the Conley Reservation. Well, they did a roundabout on that by using the WHO taking away our rights under a pandemic that could have been stopped in its heels and destroyed with ivermectin and the other drugs that they lied about, which they're now being sued about because those drugs worked. Ivermectin works. People did not have to get sick. They did not need to be on remdesivir and be put in the hospitals. This is a communist revolution on this country, and the American people need to understand. And my goodness, if you don't understand what took place in South Africa, you will stand up if you understand what took place there. The American people were lied to about Mandela. We have friends that were in South Africa. Brendy, you know that the roads from the airport were not finished for 6 months and that body was on ice so they could hold that funeral for Mandela. Mandela was an evil, evil man. The idea that Obama presented this as, oh, Nelson Mandela died, this good man, he was as evil as it gets. And if you read the New Underworld Order, you will understand that this is not just right and left, et cetera. This is of demonic. And it must be stopped. This is why the American people must stand up, because there are not going to be a second chance on this.
Well, 2 points there, Mary. Reference Joe Biden first. You know, this whole PSYOP, as you call it, which is really the cognitive war, is exactly spot on. Because when you have a fraudulent president, and I don't mind calling a fraudulent president because that's the truth, tell Black Americans they're not Black unless they vote for me. Not only is that so racist and so demeaning, but it tells you all you need to know about the PSYOP. You're not Black unless you vote for me, meaning I'm going to take care of you in my new 21st century plantation dependency unless you vote for me. Second, part of this whole destruction of our constitution, our governance, our education, other stuff like that. What's the one thing that the Democrats haven't demanded we got rid of yet? The one thing they haven't demanded we got rid of yet is the party of slavery. The party of slavery, the foundation from which all this sprouts forth. So this is the same thing as you've seen with the Bolsheviks and Lenin, as Mary talks about this communist revolution here, is being an old Soviet studies guy, the same tactics and techniques. You don't have to just look at South Africa. You don't have to look at just Venezuela. Go back and take a look at Eastern Europe and how Eastern Europe was succumbed, okay, over and through the communists and into made into the Soviet Union. It was through the same tactics and procedures here. They've been rehoned time and time again. So that the effort here is to destroy America. And so we're moving America away from a melting pot towards a boiling pot. Okay. And that boiling pot, as Brandy pointed out, can be a spark at any time based on these illegals coming in and the gangs and other things they're setting up. And if the cartels can bring in fentanyl at will, they can bring in weapons at will. And you believe me, they've already done that. So we have to be prepared. Now, one of the key things to be prepared in all this, Brandy, is to understand history. Okay? Not only understand history, but be prepared to survive. So I think that's an apropos moment to take a sideline hit. And let's talk about some of the things you talk about in your new book here. Okay, survival food, South American pioneer cuisine, because it's not only a blend of culinary art, okay, it's a blend of history that speaks to the resilience of the South African people and stuff. And so why don't you tie that in here and bring us a little bit of insight in terms of why you wrote this cookbook and then a little bit of the background there, please.
Oh, thank you. I can show a picture. It's survival food, and it is South African pioneer history, not South American.
I'm sorry, my Freudian slip there.
But be that as it may, I wrote an article, and you can find it on Jellyfish News, and it is called Land, Peace, and Bread. That is what Lenin promised during the Bolshevik Revolution. Can you imagine that? Land, peace, and bread. And the ultimate objective of that is to get people dependent on the government. And that's why they vote for them, because the government is going to just look after them. Well, the government's not your friend. And that's why I wrote this book. And if you understand who you are, our people, and I'm talking about European people, but anybody that identify with our culture, we tricked over the Drakensberg with ox wagon, women and children, and we survived it. And how did we survive it? I tell that story, and I tell the story about our food and how we preserved meat, how we made baked bread in the ground. And I'm telling you, I'm giving you survival skills based in historical history of how our people have managed to survive. Because face it, we come from the same place. We got on different boats. We landed in Africa. You took the Mayflower. We took the dromedaries. We come from the same. We are the same people. And that's part of what I learned when I put this book together. It's pretty amazing how much similarities there are, because we are the same people. We have the same resilience. We have the same... We can do this, but we have to understand who we are, where we come from. And if you are got your armed and you've got your food in your pocket, and you can survive this. You just need to read the story, the Battle of Blood River, and then you cannot take God out of this, because Father God is what unites us all in this battle. And in the end, we do win, because what is coming against us is totally, totally Luciferian and demonic.
No, exactly. Mary, back to you and thoughts.
Brendy's book is so important because it gives you insight into what's coming, and you will see the parallels. But this is survival food. This is something that most Americans do not understand, what you can have on hand, how you can protect your journey through life, your family, by knowing how to take care of yourself in these kind of times. It's also, Brendy talks about coalescing with neighbors, creating, you know, societies among ourselves where we stand for our freedom. But if you don't know how to survive with these foods, I have learned so much on naturopathic things and medical things that are not part of what has been sold to us in medicine these days from Brendy. So I really suggest people get this book. I have it in both the hardbound, but also the Kindle. But keep in mind, by the way, folks, that if the internet goes out, you need to have information on the side so that you can refer to it. And not being able to feed your family is one of the first steps into your destruction. You must know how to do that. And so I cannot recommend this book highly enough, because it's about survival.
Absolutely right, Mary. So, you know, some people may ask, so what are you talking about, a cookbook on National Security Hour? Well, let me bring you back my own perspective on this. What is national security? To me, national security provides the umbrella under which we can exercise our freedoms, which are God-given, but also enshrined in our Constitution. To me, national security allows for us to care for, feed, and clothe, and provide for our families, okay? And it's based on a rich set of traditions, okay? Food is something that's multicultural. It crosses not only the palates, regardless of race, religion, or background, but what I found interesting in this book, just in the beginning, was just a tremendous introduction by J.B. Wells to Brandy's book. So I'm not going to give that away. I want people to get the book and read it. But what a wonderful soliloquy and poetry in detailing her work. And no doubt, justifiably proud in terms of what this. But also, being a cook myself, I look at this. The only thing I think I'll have trouble with the cookbook is pronouncing the words right. but Brandy, why don't you go back and give us some insight in terms of maybe one more story in terms of what you talked about there, but also about why you chose the different areas you did to break down for the recipes. We have about 2 minutes left here.
Well, basically, it's because I can see that the supply chain is being attacked. There's going to be a time where there's nothing left in the grocery store. I don't know if you experience it. If you order something online, you order two or three, they'll bring you one. So that's already starting to happen. And a lot of kids think that, you know, milk comes from the grocery store. It does not. So we're going to have to find a way to feed ourselves and stick together to make this happen. And this cookbook will guide you how to do that when the grocery stores no longer, you know, give you what you expect them to give you. Yes.
But it is fascinating, because it is a breakdown of, was it Built On, Survival of the Fittest, Bear Bread. Okay, this ought to get enticed a lot of the male audience in here into Bear Bread. I think the risks, the Bobuti Bounty, right?
Bobuti.
I'm sorry?
Bobuti.
Bobuti, okay, Bounty. Like I said, I have some pronunciation. But it's a plethora. And then also for us folks like myself, who like desserts now and then, there's a plethora of great recipes in there also in terms of the different desserts. But the discussion today has been fantastic, not just from the history that you bring forth in this cookbook and also the survival of foods that you bring forth for Americans, but for what you've helped us understand and what's going on in America here today. We got about 30 seconds left. Brandy and then Mary, any last comments?
Just be prepared, people. Stay on your knees. Pray.
And Mary?
Put on the armor of God and go to work. God expects those to stand up. He helps those who help themselves.
Amen.
Exactly. Well, thanks for joining us on the mission. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battles to defend the United States of America.